name is Ari Alanis, and I am the Senior Multifaith Educator at Global Spiritual Life at NYU, and this is Multifaithful, the podcast about religious diversity, multifaith dialogue, and effing the ineffable. In this week's podcast, we are going to dive into the workings of a new and amazing organization in New York City, the Coalition of Progressive Hindus. They are organizing Hindu people around different progressive causes throughout New York City and the broader country, have been really involved in some local New York City efforts recently, and are doing some amazing work that we thought would be great to highlight and unpack a little bit. Thank you for listening to Multifaithful. Now to this week's conversation. I am joined today by Aminta Kilwan, a co-founder of the Coalition for Progressive Hindus, which we're going to get into a lot later. Also a community activist, a weekly columnist, a lawyer, a woman who wears many hats. Hopefully we'll get into how all of those work together. Thanks for being here.
Of course. Thank you for having me today.
And we are also joined on the phone by someone I've met and had a lot of contact with the last few months, someone who has done a ton of interfaith work, both on campus and with other organizations we've had on this podcast before. Tahil, how are you doing?
I'm good. How's it going?
Good, good. Do you want to just quickly introduce yourself for everyone?
Sure. Hey, everyone. My name is Tahil Sharma. I am the Interfaith and Youth Liaison for Sadhana, Coalition for Progressive Hindus, and I'm also currently serving as a UN Youth Representative for the Parliament of the World Religion.
Great. So, Aminta, you are co-founder of the Coalition of Progressive Hindus. Why is there a Coalition of Progressive Hindus? What was the inspiration behind founding this group, and what sort of needs within our broader community and in the Hindu community was this group responding to?
So that is a great question. We are a bunch of progressive-minded Hindus who didn't know each other over 5 years ago, but as a result of our various work in our respective communities, found each other. We felt that there was a missing space when it comes to a Hindu voice that stood for social justice ideals and stood up in the face of injustice. And we wanted to be that voice. And we felt there wasn't an organization that existed to serve as Hindus, but not necessarily just for Hindus, but for the world at large, and to advocate for human rights and for social justice and environmental justice. And so we created Sadhana to be that mechanism to not just promote social justice as it stands, but also connect it back to Hindu roots of oneness, which is ekatva, or ahimsa, nonviolence, or seva, selfless service. And so Sadhana exists to fulfill those principles at the heart of social justice that we believe are also at the heart of Hinduism.
Oh, and you said that a lot of your activism has to do with your own background and how you came to this. So maybe, because we're talking about this right before we started recording, so maybe can you take our listeners through a little bit of that journey and kind of explain how that brought you into doing this?
Sure, absolutely. So I am an Indo-Caribbean Hindu woman. And what that means is my parents are from Guyana, which is in the West Indies, and their ancestors are from India. Many, many years ago, in the early 1800s, the Indians from India migrated to Guyana as indentured servants, and they were joined by Africans who had migrated from Africa to Guyana as slaves. And Guyana was a British colony, and so you found that there was a fusion of all of the respective cultures and religions that existed in the country. And Hindus in Guyana and in other parts of the West Indies struggled to maintain their identity as Hindus, and the language got lost along the way. However, the cultural traditions are still very much present. The religious traditions are still very much present. And so what's interesting is in the way that we worship, especially in the Indo-Caribbean temples, and there are a plethora of them in Queens, New York, which is where I'm from, you'll find that there are certain aspects of the worship and the rituals that are somewhat emulating Christian traditions, like the hymn singing and the congregational worship that you may not necessarily see as much in traditional Indian temples. The Indo-Caribbean temples are a bit different, and you see the fusion and of the cultures and of the religions manifest. I can say that among Guyanese, for instance, you'll see that my parents celebrate Easter And back when they in their country, they used to purchase hot cross buns for Easter and celebrate Christmas. We still do to this day. And the Christians and Muslims in the country celebrate things like Pugwa, which is coming up. It's also called Holi in, in more common culture, the Festival of Spring.
Mm-hmm.
And so everyone celebrates everything, and that's part of my background.
And Tahil, I believe your background's a little different, right?
Yes, my background is a little different. Natively, my family is from India, but I come from an interfaith family. My mother's side is Sikh, and my dad's side is Hindu. And so I come from sort of two different understandings on how I understand myself to be a progressive Hindu, mainly because of my interactions with my own communities, but getting to also understand the constant and emerging importance of pluralism. So me growing up in Los Angeles, for example, there's a plethora of different religions down here, and I was basically exposed to every single one possible. Every Friday, I would go with my friends to the mosque, and I'd see them pray and learn how to do it with them. I used to go to Mass on Sundays with my other friends and attend La Misa in Spanish. And basically, in that process, I developed a greater understanding of my own faith traditions and how I studied them, mainly because I'm sort of self-taught in terms of reading and writing in Sanskrit, speaking Hindi as well with my own family, learning Punjabi because of my mother's side of the family, and so on. It was basically just an amalgamation of everything put together in me in the last 24 years.
That's great. So, and having you both here is actually really interesting, because I know most people who identify as Hindu are usually from India or have a pretty recent immigration history from India, and you're both presenting a little bit of a complication to that maybe stereotypical narrative. And so I'm curious, and maybe Aminta will go to you first, how common, you know, how, if maybe you could unpack for us a little bit the diversity within the Hindu community so that listeners who don't know the American Hindu community well at all, you can maybe give a little bit of context, and then we'll move to talking about where the coalition fits within this broader Hindu community.
So there's a ton of diversity within the Hindu community. You can even see that within the Sadhana Coalition of Progressive Hindus. Our board, we have myself and Rohan Narayan are both Indo-Caribbeans, similar experiences and cultural backgrounds. We have Sunita Viswanath, who is an Andhra woman from India, and she's also identifies as Hindu. We have Christopher Fichi, who I believe used to be Christian and converted to Hinduism by way of the Krishna consciousness tradition. And there are many more. Even within the Indo-Caribbean community, there are various sects. So I identify with Sanatana Dharma. It is a type of Hinduism that worships the various gods and goddesses in their different forms, ultimately all one god. But it's easier to envision a particular god. For instance, say Ganesh is pictured as the elephant god, and he is the remover of obstacles, whereas Lakshmi is the goddess of prosperity, and she brings wealth and light to your life. Whereas Saraswati is the goddess of wisdom and knowledge, and she's pictured with a sitar, a veena, and she's also the goddess of music. So there's all these different gods and goddesses. At the end of the day, one god. And that's Sanatana Dharma. There's also the Arya Samajis within the Hindu tradition. And Arya Samajis believe that God is so powerful that God can't be necessarily perceived in a particular pictorial form. And the Arya Samajis choose to worship in a different manner. And then there's just the list goes on and on of all of the differences. And that's just within the Indo-Caribbean community. And so I can't even speak to the magnitude of various types of Hindus there are in this world coming to the religion from different ways, whether before being from a different religion and converting. There are cultural Hindus who identify with Hinduism not necessarily as a religion, but as a way of life, as a philosophy, and the list goes on.
Yeah. And Tahil, you also sit in an interesting intersection, because I have a feeling that a lot of our listeners don't have a great sense of the difference between being Sikh and being Hindu. I think they kind of know people are from a similar part of the world and that there's some relationship there. But I'd imagine for you, being at that intersection in your family has been an interesting experience.
Oh, yeah. I think personally within my own family, there's been a bit of conflict because actually my father's side of the family, to some extent, was conservative in their views of Hinduism. So there was a bit of a following of the caste system. And in that process, the fact that one of their sons ended up marrying someone out of the religion, let alone another caste, seemed to be a bit of a situation that actually caused my parents to come to the United States.
Mm.
But at the same time, when I go to explain people that I follow two faith traditions in my household, it's actually a lot easier than people assume, because I think we're so focused on the dogma and the theology that makes each one so unique that it makes it seem almost impossible to practice two completely different things at the same time. But the reality is that there is a lot of commonality between Hinduism and Sikhism, being that Sikhism was created as sort of its own faith tradition within a Hindu-majority India with some influence from Islam as well because of the Mughal Empire. So even though there are different practices, there are different languages being used, etc., I managed to practice them both very well because of that understanding that there are different ways or different paths to travel to the same destination. And for me, getting to experience two different paths is kind of cool. It's certainly different. It's challenging. But it makes me understand that greatness that is God in a much larger scope.
Mm. And I want to just follow up on that. I'm curious if you... I know that identifying with more than one religious tradition among young people of our generation, is increasingly common, especially as interfaith marriages become more and more common in the United States. Have you been... and implicit in kind of the way you were framing it before is that some people are a little bit resistant to you being able to identify as both. And so I'm curious if within your own life has it, and kind of doing a lot of faith-rooted justice work, have people been resistant to it? Has everyone been like, oh, that's great, I totally understand it? Like, how has that played out for you?
I get a very mixed response, to be honest. Some people are like, wow, that's really interesting. Some people just flat out tell me that's not possible. Some people tell me that, doesn't it become difficult to practice two completely different things? And then my favorite response is, so you must get a lot of holidays and a lot of gifts. So it depends on who you talk to, but I think that's one of the great things about the interfaith movement. People have been really receptive to the fact that something like this is very possible, especially in the upcoming generations of millennials who seem to be a part of this mix of so many different faith traditions from around the world. Hinduism and Sikhism, let alone, come from the same region. But when you have people who happen to be Muslim and Jain at the same time, just because of how families ended up interacting with each other, you'll be surprised what ends up coming through. And us as interfaith babies need that kind of support and understanding that our understandings of two different traditions in our home should not be something held against us. It should be something that we need to learn more about so that we can make this world sort of stronger in its understanding of a divine being, if at all.
So, Aminta, I want to now turn to the organization, Sadhana. So what was the... something titled the Coalition of Progressive Hindus means that there was at least some form of group of Hindus that were not progressive enough, or that weren't showing up in certain areas that you felt were really important. So maybe you could talk a little bit about the inspiration there, and what are some of the issues that really animate your group? And I think... I just perusing online and on your Facebook, given the current electoral climate, there seems to be no shortage of issues for your group to speak to. So maybe you could talk, after kind of explaining what those issues are, a little bit about how it's been in the last maybe 6 months, as I think certain tensions in the United States have gotten worse.
Sure. That's a great question.
Big question. Well,
yes, it's a big question. We have to unpack that question.
Yeah.
So, first of all, why progressive Hinduism, right? What is a progressive Hindu? And that's the penultimate question that we get all the time. And it's a difficult question to answer. We found, and I speak for myself, and I think I can speak for many of the members of our group as well, that when you come across a Hindu, particularly a young Hindu, that Hindu will either be a Hindu who is a practicing Hindu and practices within the confines of his or her home, the traditions and the rituals, and identifies with the religion in that way, in a very tangible way, and keeps the faith outside of the rest of their life.
Mm-hmm.
And then on the other hand, you'll have the secular Hindus who identify with the faith only insofar as they were born into it and reject it for every other reason. And I think in part, and at being an Indo-Caribbean, it's been a different experience for me, but in India, you'll find that there's no shortage of Hindu nationalism.
Mm-hmm.
And this notion that India should be a Hindu nationalist state, and so maybe that is why there are individuals, particularly in the young generation, who reject Hinduism for that reason, without seeing the beauty of it and the principles that are very much parallel to social justice and activism. We saw that. We saw that there was that space for particularly young people. Before Sadhana was founded, I was a law student,
mm-hmm.
and I was struggling to meld my passion for social justice and for activism with this other side of me, this side that had, you know, come around the bend. I'd been to Catholic school since I can remember. My parents always believed that a foundation in faith-based education was important, mm-hmm. irregardless of where that was coming from and what religion it was coming from. And so I went to Jesuit schools. Jesuit schools promote, you know, community service,
mm-hmm.
and not being men and women for others. And so I carry that with me, but I struggle to find the connection between that side of myself and my Hindu side. And so when I met this group of Hindus who saw the need to speak out when it comes to injustice, to act, to not be afraid to be the ones to stand up, even when a Hindu is the one who is the perpetrator,
mm-hmm.
of hate-based violence or of bigotry, because we felt that was lacking. And so as a coalition of progressive Hindus, we stand for certain ideals and tenets and are not afraid to do so. We're not afraid to be that voice. We felt it was missing, and
mm-hmm.
we are that group that will welcome any individual, even if they only identify as a cultural Hindu,
mm-hmm.
or even if they identify as a traditional Hindu, but are questioning. We're the group that will allow you to question, to come around the bend, to defy the norms at times, and that's what makes us progressive.
Right, and it seems to me you're doing a few things at once. You're almost representing Hinduism in a progressive space, as well as providing access to members of the Hindu community who may want to be involved with more progressive politics to kind of move that way. And then also to organize them around that, which is kind of two, I guess they're flip sides of the same coin, but it seems to me like two goals that you're working with at the same time. On top of that, if you had to pick two or three of the issues that are of biggest concern to your organization right now, what are they? And I'll layer that on with, we've had quite a few people on this podcast discussing issues of social justice. And I've actually been struck by how many different areas people are working on, and frankly, how much need there is. So I'm curious, what have you, your organization prioritized? Like, what are the kind of the three or four key things?
So firstly, and what we're most known for, when you think about Sadhana, Coalition of Progressive Hindus, you think about beach cleanups.
Okay.
One of the issues that's afflicting our world is the fact that undeniably there is a climate crisis, and we have a project that's been widely received in New York City and in the community that we do the grassroots work in, called Project Prithvi. Prithvi for Mother Earth, the Hindu goddess of Earth. And the goal of the project is actually to advocate for eco-friendly Hindu worship at a local body of water called Jamaica Bay.
Mm-hmm.
This body of water is frequented by various different populations, whether it be fishermen or just families who want to go and have a nice weekend by the bay, and bird watchers,
mm-hmm.
And also of local Hindus who go there to worship in the way that they know how,
mm.
in the way that they've carried on from primarily the West Indies, which is to bring their offerings to the bay and to leave,
mm.
and often to leave them there. Some of these offerings are made of cloth that doesn't biodegrade. Murtis, or the Hindu statues of the gods
mm-hmm.
and goddesses that also don't biodegrade. And what it's done is it's been challenging for the National Park Service, the federal entity that oversees this bay, to enforce their policy. And what ended up happening was they began to fine a lot of the Hindus that went to practice
right.
their religion because they just couldn't. I mean, this is a sanctuary. This is a place where the ecosystem needs to thrive, and,
right.
and the Hindus were posing an issue. In comes Sadhana to be a liaison between the governmental entity that oversees this bay and is trying to implement their policy and Hindus who want to preserve their tradition in New York City. And this bay had effectively become the Ganges of New York City. So as a Hindu group, because we're part and parcel of a community and because we identify with that community, it was a lot easier for us to go in and advocate for these practices, ultimately serving a greater good, which is
mm-hmm.
to promote taking care of the environment. So that's been a project that everyone loves,
mm-hmm.
and it's garnered us a lot of attention, and we hope to build on that. That's one thing that we do. And another thing that we do is advocate for social issues and things that are, and stand against things that are unjust.
Mm-hmm.
And when you talk about the political climate in America right now, which is where we are from, and so those are the politics that are
mm-hmm.
most close to us. There's a lot of hate.
Right.
There's a lot of hate that is being spewed on the campaign trail,
mm-hmm.
there's...
I think we can name it in how there's been a lot of rhetoric that's been Islamophobic, and people who look like they might be Muslim have the brunt of that, and there's been plenty of examples of people who aren't Muslim but look like Muslim having, like, very, very bad instances of discrimination.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That brings up a good point. So last December, this was our very last event of 2015, and it was a reactive one because something bad happened, and we try to be proactive in
mm-hmm.
our work, but sometimes you have no choice but to react
right.
to things that happen. And on Thanksgiving, the night of Thanksgiving, there was an individual who was roaming the streets in Woodhaven, Queens, New York,
mm-hmm.
and he set a fire to 40 Hindu, they're called Chandi flags, in front of a local Hindu home. And something of this magnitude hadn't happened before in the community. There were,
right.
you know, people have targeted Hindu homes. This is a very visible emblem
mm-hmm.
of a home being a Hindu home.
Right.
And, you know, while this was happening, there were a lot of other things going on in the world. There's a lot of hate in other countries,
mm-hmm.
namely Paris, Beirut,
yeah.
Syria, Afghanistan, and the list goes on. And there was a culture that was unfortunately attacking Muslims
mm-hmm.
in America. And maybe, I mean, I can't say this for sure, but maybe the individual who lit a fire to those flags was just an ignorant person who didn't understand what they meant. Didn't realize that they were a religious symbol, maybe due to Islamophobia,
mm-hmm.
felt that this was a Muslim home. Who knows?
Right.
I don't know what was in the mind of that person.
And
but
it puts you in a really complicated position because you want to be really clear. Wait. Like, these are... Islam and Hinduism are two very different groups.
Yes.
But regardless of what you thought we were, this is totally unacceptable.
Exactly. Exactly. That's absolutely right. And at the end of the day, we stand with our Muslim brothers and sisters. And while the distinction must be made and awareness must be made as to what the religion is and what the symbols of the religion are, that's not to say that any religious, any hate-based crime against any religion is right. It's not. It never will be, and we'll always stand against that. And so in response to the crime that occurred, which the NYPD deemed a hate crime, mm-hmm. we held a rally in front of the home with permission from the family members. And the goal of the rally was not just to address the flags that were burned, although it was a response to that. It was also to build tolerance and mm-hmm. and to respond to this culture of hate with love. And so we called the rally #WeAreOne.
Mm-hmm.
And we did that because there is a phrase in various Hindu scriptures, Vasudeva Kutumbakam, and it basically means we are one family. And we had various faith-based groups come out that night from various religions to speak out against what happened, and also to just promote this culture of love and combat all of the rhetoric and the vitriol that has been occurring with love.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's another aspect of our work is to respond to injustice. And
yeah.
we believe that the rhetoric that's going on is a form of injustice.
Yeah. And Tahil, what about for you? What is maybe an issue or two that are animating your involvement that you're really invested in?
I have also been really invested with Sadhana in terms of social issues, mainly on the front of social justice and politics. In one of our previous conversations, I had mentioned to you that there was a recent discovery about an Indian-American PAC that was in support of Donald Trump for the presidential candidacy.
That's right. I remember we were talking about this.
Yes. And after my conversation with you about that, I actually went into conversation with some of the members of that PAC. In going in sort of with a neutral understanding, even though in my mind I was completely shocked that such an organization was coming into existence, trying to get a sense of what they believed Donald Trump offered that was different from the other candidates. And to my surprise, there were some points where they had their justifications and their views, which I respect, in terms of economic policy and social policy, etc. But there was one particular thing that bothered me, and it was the fact that I was actually sent a couple of articles on different subjects from one of the members, and he had told me that it was well-researched, da-da-da-da-da, and the name of the article was The Islamization of America. After reading the article, I was basically almost in tears, mainly because this was a continuation of hate speech being released out on another community. And as Amanda had mentioned before, not only do we stand in solidarity with our Muslim brothers and sisters, but we stand with them shoulder to shoulder in fighting against this rhetoric, in fighting against this injustice. And unfortunately, it's been so put out on mainstream media through politicians, through many community members that like to that want to instill the justice and the liberties that our country has been founded upon. They don't really seem to understand that that idea of justice and liberty is based in religious pluralism. And I think, unfortunately, we've gotten to a point where this disassociation of people who come from minority traditions like Islam, and I think especially now with the severe exodus of refugees, Muslims all over the world who are a majority peaceful people are getting a bad name because of the actions of a small few. And now this same emotional manipulation is creating a situation that is now affecting us from all of the different minority faith traditions. There was a man who was pushed onto the train tracks and killed in New York City in one of the subways because a lady said that it was because of Islam and Hinduism that September 11th took place.
Mm-hmm.
It is giving birth to a new kind of ignorance that is not only making an assumption out of a great population of people, but it is also including people that not only have no direct association with it, but they don't even have a direct association to what could be close to it.
Right.
And my work on college campuses across the country through organizations like the Interfaith Youth Core, now with Sadhana in particular, is addressing these issues of stereotyping and discrimination of different faith traditions, spiritual traditions, or even atheists and agnostics, and making people understand that there's a shared humanity that we have in the 21st century, that this interconnectedness, this globalization, has a much bigger role to play than we make it seem. And I think most importantly, by making sure that we tell those stories, that rehumanize people again, is what's going to make the biggest difference. Me coming from my background as a Hindu and a Sikh, makes it very important for people to know that it's possible for a person to practice two faith traditions in their home, and at the same time be a progressive citizen who wants to contribute to the social fabric of this country. If people ask me, are you religious first or are you American first, that's like asking me if I blink my left eye first or my right eye first. It's one and the same for me, and I think that's the biggest point that we need to make, especially with the progressives of all of our religious communities, especially the Hindu one, that we, as productive citizens of this country, are proud to be American, and it does not go against the theology and the practice of the Sanatan Dharma or Hinduism.
So I want to, we only have a few minutes left, and I'm sort of two minds, because I think actually right now is... there's just a lot of negative news, so I don't want to force us to end on a positive note. But I would like to end on maybe, Aminta, if you could give us a story or example of something since you started with this group and since you founded this group that is like the most inspiring or has been the most heartening to see. Because I think a lot of the time we see multi-faith or interfaith efforts come together in moments of tragedy, and they actually can be quite inspiring, or they could have, it doesn't even have to be a moment of tragedy, it can just be inspiration. So I'm curious if you have a quick anecdote or story, and I'm putting you on the spot with this, that maybe you could share with our listeners.
So we at Sadhana do, in addition to the environmental justice work and the responses to injustice and organizing around that, we do healthy relationships workshops.
Mm.
And we do that because we found that a lot of Hindus and faith-based individuals, just generally speaking, resort to resolving, say, for instance, marital issues or struggling with their sexual orientation, etc. Families often go to their temples,
mm-hmm,
to resolve a lot of these issues. And oftentimes, priests are not the best equipped,
mm-hmm,
to respond to these issues. And so we have, through our work, brought service providers and other individuals who have gone through struggles,
mm-hmm,
to speak with individuals, other individuals in the communities about that. And we do these workshops in a non-denominational setting. We do,
mm-hmm,
it at a local library to have people of all different types of faiths or no faith come and take advantage of this programming. And so I remember one of the workshops that we had was on LGBT inclusivity and what that means, and within a faith-based,
mm-hmm,
lens as well. And there is a community organizer by the name of Muhammad Amin who spoke about his dream to get married to his partner of over 10 years and do so in the faith-based traditions that he was brought up with. And it moved him to tears.
Mm-hmm.
To just be able to talk about this in a public setting and not be shunned away. And then at the very end, I was asked to deliver a prayer. And another aspect of my life, you said I wear many hats. I also sing bhajans, which are Hindu,
mm,
Hindu hymns.
I'm not going to put you on the spot.
No, I'm not.
You sing for
and
the
I'm
podcast.
Not going to. but so I was asked to do, I was asked to, I was put on the spot and I was asked to do that. And I did, and I cried, and everybody else in the room cried. And it was because we all felt like we had a sense of belonging and that no one was shunned away from necessarily from an institution, but we were building something even bigger. We were building a movement as faith-based individuals from all different walks of life and welcoming all. And to me, that was a really powerful moment in Sadhana's history to have built that space. And I hope that we continue to build those types of spaces.
Well, I'm sure you will. And thank you for giving us so much time. Tahil, thank you for calling in and for giving us so much time on the phone. I know it's a little earlier in the day for you than it is for us.
Oh, no, it's my pleasure. Thank you so much, Ariel.
All right. Hopefully we'll have both of you back for another podcast episode soon.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Multifaith. We would especially like to thank our guests, Tahil and Aminta, for spending so much time. This was also one that we had to reschedule a few times, so we really appreciate how considerate they were with their time and how amazing they've been in this whole process of trying to record this interview. Special thank you to Brian Young, as always, for editing and producing In Absentia, and to Luis Suados, whose music is from the Of Many film. If you have any questions, comments, or suggestions, please be in touch at spiritual.life@nyu.edu. Please rate and review us on iTunes. We look forward to having you back for another episode.